Appreciate the blessings of the Lord this evening to be out at the house of the Lord, as well as the traveling mercy, whether close or far, it doesn't matter. It's still the blessings of the Lord that we can make it. They say most accidents occur pretty close to the home, so we don't take those things for granted this evening. We want to, by the help of the Lord, spend some time not only tonight, but just over the next few days. We set aside times like this so that we can improve in our walk with the Lord. And I am thoroughly convinced that God is interested in seeing His people thrive. Not just get by, not just barely make it. We live in a day and time where standards have been lowered in so many different regards. And when I think about, I teach public education, and I can tell you things have changed in the 27 years I've been teaching, and what we expect of kids now is far less than what it was when I began, and it pales in comparison. You ever read some of those old exams in the 1800s, what it took to pass eighth grade? And you read one of those questions, you think, oh, I don't know if I could answer that right now. There have just been a letdown in so many different ways and so many different areas. And I'm not here talking necessarily about the standards of God and whether those have been let down, but rather understand that the standard that God has for His children, for each and every one of us, is that we would walk circumspectly in this world, that we would deny ungodliness, that we would live righteously and sober in this present world, that we would be a people that when we walk, we don't have to walk with our shoulders slumped and our chin down and averting our eyes, contact with other folks. That's usually what people do when they're guilty. When they lack confidence and they don't want to be addressed, and because they're afraid they might be asked a question, not be able to give an answer, might not be able to have an explanation of the hope that they have within them. I think about tonight the songs that we sang and what we have.
Yes.
Praise God for what He has given us. I mean, you think about how amazing this world is and the blessings that the Lord gives us. Think about the times where, you know, when things aren't going the way that you'd hoped that they would go, and maybe people let you down. You try to confide in someone and they don't really touch that spot, and you go away from that conversation. Just, you know, you're not disappointed, but you weren't satisfied. And you find that you go and you get some time alone with the Lord, and the Spirit of the Lord comes down and is able to touch that spot. What a blessing there is in having that kind of communion with God, and just think, it's going to get better.
Right.
It's going to get better. This world is not our home. We're just passing through. We sing tonight. We have a hope of something far greater, something beyond this world, beyond all. You ever think about your struggles? You ever think about your problems? You ever think about what a problem other folks can be? Right? All these different kinds of things. And to think that when we get one glimpse of Him in glory, we'll far exceed all of those troubles and concerns and problems. And we thank the Lord for that. And I would to God that we understand going into this revival meeting that the hope and the expectation of the time that we spend here, that we get spiritual good that causes us to walk out of here with our chin up and our shoulders erect, knowing that we're God's child. We're a royal priesthood, a chosen generation, nothing to need not to be ashamed of, but we know that what we have far exceeds what this world offers. I also would to God that none of us would be intimidated when it comes to dealing with the world. You have what they need. It cures what ails them. And we as the people of God need not be ashamed of that. And we need to be a people that are confident. And so I want to, by the help of the Lord, talk about a few things tonight that would boost our confidence in God. And we want to talk tonight about God's thoughts about you. I tell people at home that I am very, very spoiled and well taken care of. I have a God that loves me dearly and takes care of me and spoils me beyond measure in a good way. And I find that what it does is it causes me not only to love Him more, not only want to obey Him more, but I find that it gives me a true confidence that as I walk through life, no matter what the circumstance, no matter the situation, no matter how my mind thinks about it and does all the calculus of all the different players that are involved, it doesn't matter. I'm already on the winning side. So when you walk into a situation, I like to play basketball. You know how you feel when you walk onto the court? I'm kind of a competitive individual. I don't walk on the court expecting to lose. I walk onto that court expecting to win. It doesn't matter how tall you are, how big or fast or whatever. I know I expect that I'm going to come out with a W when I walk out of there. And that's what the Lord desires for us as His children. That's what He's promised us when He told the children of Israel, everywhere the sole of your foot shall step, it's yours. You can have it. That sounds like victory. That's the God that we serve tonight. And I want you to understand that we have a God that has us as His people here for a particular reason. There's a purpose for your life. Doesn't matter how young you are, children. Doesn't matter how old we get. There is still a purpose. When the Lord gives us life and breath, there is a purpose. There is a meaning in our life. And I would to God that we understand tonight, each and every day, there's not a throwaway day with God. Each and every day that you're alive and have breath, the Lord desires to do something in and through your life. To touch somebody else, to be a living testimony, an epistle that's read and written of men. The Lord is busy working with you and I as individuals that we might be that light that is set on a hill, the city that is not hid for all to behold. And when we do it, we go with the confidence that the Lord gives us. Amen. The confidence is not in what we think we know.
No.
It's not in what we've studied.
No.
I mean, it helps to know the word of the Lord.
Yeah.
But our confidence comes by the God that met us in the depths of our sin. We all know what it was like to be apart from God. We know what it was like to not have peace in our soul, to be afraid to go to sleep at night, to not want to have any quietness in this world because we knew we weren't right. But we also know the testimony that the Lord gave us. When He saved us and put our heart at peace, at rest with God, to where there was no more fear, but we looked forward to meeting the Lord, to seeing Him.
Yes.
I want to begin tonight reading a very familiar scripture in the 29th chapter of Jeremiah. And this is a scripture that the Lord, it was a promise that He was given to the children of Israel as they had been taken captive. And yet it's still a promise to us as His people today. And again, we're considering God's thoughts towards us. And we read here in Jeremiah 29:11, we maybe begin with 10. For this, thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, and when ye shall search for me with warnings over and over again. I want to stress this tonight that we understand this. This is part of what gives us confidence.
Yeah.
When God was dealing with the children of Israel, He didn't tell them once and they disobeyed and immediately they went into exile. There were long periods of time. Many prophets, inspired of the Lord, came, one from here, one from there, each one saying the same message over and over again, maybe slightly different flavor based upon the inspiration that they had and the life experiences that they lived, and they were able to speak to those people. But understand, we serve a God that is faithful.
Yeah.
To His children. He was faithful here. And so it was, after perpetual warning and warning, they had a time out, if you will. A time they were brought into captivity until they came to a place of understanding. You know what I draw from this that gives me confidence? God didn't forget them in their time out. He didn't cast them off. And I want you to understand tonight, when we read this scripture, when the Lord says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you.
Yes.
You know, we have a lot of thoughts about ourselves, don't we?
Yes.
Some of us are hard on ourselves. based whether it's life experiences that we've had, maybe it was the way we were raised, different things. Maybe we've had experiences where we've had a lot of different failure and you didn't have someone there to support you. And so, you know, you can naturally just see what everything that's wrong with yourself.
Right.
I tend not to struggle with that. I thank the Lord. I had a, and the reason why the Lord let me see is I had a mom and a dad that loved me. They did a lot of things wrong. They weren't godly people. But one of the things that they did is they made sure that I knew that I was loved. And I'll tell you, it gave me a confidence that allowed me to walk through life and walk into situations. And I've said it before, and I'll share it here. I walk into a crowded room. And I hope you don't think I'm conceited or anything. But when I walk into a crowded room, I assume everybody there enjoys my company and wants to have a conversation. I realize that not everybody thinks like this. Okay? I've come to that conclusion. And I want you to understand that it's a much happier way to live. I'm just going to tell you. I know some folks that walk into a room and they assume nobody wants to talk to them unless they go out of their way to pursue after them. And I'm going to tell you, I've seen both sides, and I much prefer to walk into a room assuming the more positive one. But I want you to understand, it's more than thinking positive. There is a confidence that was born in my natural life, a natural confidence that I had because of the love that my parents gave me. And then we think, how much more when we start to think about the love of God that has been shed abroad in your heart, that you have value, you have meaning, you have purpose, you have worth. These are God's thoughts towards you. And I think sometimes we struggle. We find ourselves in this place where we can get down in the mully grubs, even in our own mind, because we get mired in how we view ourselves and what we think about ourselves. And sometimes if we're not very strong and we're not discerning the spirits, we'll start to listen to false spirits and the accusations that it will bring to accuse us. The scripture says he is the accuser of the brethren. Are we not one of them? So he's going to accuse us and cause all different kinds of doubtful disputations. I think about how sometimes people can say things about us or to us that can have an effect and a negative impact. People can say things. That's why we're careful in the words that we say and the things that we say to other people, because it goes with them. It has the ability to impact their thinking and their influence and how they view themselves. This was brought home to me last spring. There was a young lady who was, I had her as a freshman. Her sophomore year, she got in a lot of trouble and didn't take care of her grades. She had to go to a boot camp school to get caught back up. And she went there, and in her time in that boot camp school, she had become a leader and actually advocated and lobbied before the state legislature funding for that program. And after she had successfully completed it, she'd come back. She's actually in my class now again this year as a senior. But I remember last spring she came by to visit the school. She wanted to come see me. And one of the things that she told me, she said, you know, and she was telling me her whole story and all the things that she had done. She says, you know, as a freshman, I remember you telling me that I was a leader. And I didn't see it. She goes, but having gone through that program and now looking back at what I've done, I see now what you saw. And it just brought home again the importance of the words that we speak to other people and the thoughts that we have concerning them. It has an impact. And when we think about what more impact does God's own thoughts have on us. And so I think it's important tonight that we start to understand, what are God's thoughts towards me? And I want to take away here for a moment the idea that God thinks about everybody else that way, but not me. Because I know some of us in here struggle that way. Yes. They're like, brother, I hear you. And I can see you enjoying it. And I can see that person over there enjoying it. But the Lord didn't really think that way towards me. And the problem is we elevate our own thinking above God's thinking. And this is the crux of the burden tonight, is that we would learn to elevate and exalt God's thoughts above our own. Let God be true and every man a liar, the word says. And so it is that we begin to understand that when we think about this, that when God looks at you, he has thoughts towards you. That's what he said here. I have thoughts towards you, and there are a lot of things in between what the start of it is all the way to the very end. But I want you to understand what he says here. And I know many of us have this verse memorized, probably got it on a pillow or a plaque or somewhere in your homes, right? The Lord has an expected end. I want to stress this tonight. God's waiting for you to arrive in heaven. That is his expectation. He understands that you're human and that you're just dust. And there's a lot of different things that are going to happen between your birth and your death. But through it all the ups, all the downs, all the challenges, all the times that you try and you fail and you're struggling, he's still looking there and he's still rooting you on and he still has an expectation that you're going to sit right next to him. He's got a spot for you. Come on up. Come closer, my child. Come sit next to me. Let me come and enjoy your presence. And it's important that we understand this, that each and every day that you wake up, you should know where you're going. Yes, thank the Lord. You know, when I'm sure you guys have the same problem here that we do at home. Sometimes you get out of service on Sunday, you're like, what do you want to do for lunch? I don't know, what do you want to do for lunch? You want to go here? That's not good. You want to go here? Right? And when you don't know, and you're just like, well, let's just get in the car and drive. You drive much slower. You go a lot of different places. There's no sense of purpose. There's no sense of urgency. Just driving around looking for something. Maybe this, maybe that. And you know, in like manner, when we don't know our purpose, when we don't know our expected end, we start to drive in circles with our life and our time, and it gets wasted and consumed. And all the while, the Lord is reminding us, and we need to be remembered of this each and every day that we wake up. I know who I am. I know in whom I have believed, and I know where he's desiring to bring me. So that when I'm facing things and problems of life, you know, when you compare them in light of eternity, we laugh because they're no longer important. Right? You think about like, well, my car is not running well. Guess what? It won't do you any good in heaven. What's the little song say? You can't get there in the limousine? Because the Lord doesn't sell any gasoline. There isn't any there. There's no need for it. But down here, it could be such a big problem, such a big hassle. It can consume our thoughts and start to affect our emotions and all these different kinds of things. And what God is telling us tonight is to be mindful of his thoughts towards us. And that there is an expected end. All this is going to come to pass, and you're going to be sitting there with the Lord. I think about what Jesus said in John 14. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. Let me ask you something. You ever had someone coming to stay at your house? I'm staying at Brother Henry, Sister Teresa's house, and when I walked into the room that was prepared for me, you know what? It was prepared. It was very well taken care of. And I know that there was, whether it was today or several days before, I don't know, but I know that there was forethought where they were thinking about me and they're making preparation with the full expectation that I'm going to be there and we're going to enjoy it together. Do you understand that that's God's thought to you? Not just when you die, not just when you got born or just saved, each and every day of your life, that's how God thinks when he thinks of you and he looks at you. There's a preparation being made, and he's got a place and a spot for you designed just for you. Amen. You know, that also gives us confidence to talk to other folks that aren't saved. God's got a reservation for you. Oh, he's got a room just the way you like it. The right temperature. The right firmness or softness of mattress. The pillow, just right. There's no Goldilocks here where you're complaining about this and that. It's perfect. It's custom fitted for you. Brother, sister, you're going the wrong way. It gives us a confidence that when we walk up to somebody that's not following the Lord, we don't have to be sheepish. We don't have to be bashful. You're not condescending and beating someone up. You're just telling them, look, there's a reservation made for you. I've got one, and so do you. Let's go together. Let's go get it. Lord, help us to understand that when we start to have these kinds of thoughts be elevated above our own, we start to change the way that we look at ourselves. We start to change the way that we interact throughout the day. So the Lord has thoughts concerning us. I want to read a few of these in the book of Romans. And I'm not going to have time to get into all of God's thoughts, but I'm going to tell you tonight this. If you want a good Bible study, maybe in the the middle of winter and things get a little dreary sometimes. You want a good Bible study? Just start Googling scriptures of God's thoughts about me. We're going to touch on a few of them tonight, but you're going to find a whole lot more that'll expand and open your understanding. And when you start to realize how much God thinks of you and what He thinks of you, how much He believes in you, you know, it gives you some borrowed confidence to be able to walk circumspectly. Here in Romans 5, verse 8, it says, "But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And I know some of these are very basic scriptures, but understand that the Lord wants to unlock the power of understanding that each and every day that you rise up out of bed, these should be, and that not everybody around us can see our value. I understand not everybody understands and appreciates our purpose. It doesn't matter. We're not living for them. Too many times we start to elevate what other people's thoughts and opinions are of us. And you want folks to have confidence in your life. You want them to think well of you. But I'm going to tell you tonight, God loves you enough that you don't have to worry about if somebody else doesn't agree or doesn't appreciate what it is that you bring to the table. God saw enough there to die for it. And we need to understand that. We need to remind ourselves of this because we have an enemy that likes to steal, kill, and destroy this thought. Loves to take it away from you, cause you to feel like you don't have value, you don't have worth, you don't have purpose, you have no good within yourself and nothing to offer the Lord, and everybody else does it better, and I just can't quite do it right. And when you start to see what God's Word says, you got to make a decision. Are you going to choose to believe the Lord? Or are you going to believe something other than Him? See, we have a decision to make. And I'm going to tell you, you want to be confident in your walk with the Lord? Yeah. Believe what He tells you. Yes. Believe His Word. Yes. Find out that as you start to believe in it, you start to walk in it, it affects the way that you view the world. Yes. It will affect the way that you deal with problems. It'll affect the way you deal with setback. Yes. You realize we all have setbacks, right? Yes. We all have challenges. We all have problems. There's things that people say that are offensive and hurtful and everything else. And there's something better than just being sociopathic and pretending like it doesn't affect you. You know what's better? Realizing your worth and your value and what God thinks of you. Above what somebody else, maybe they just don't see it. Lord, it's all right. Help them until they can. I'm still going to do me. I'm still going to be who I am. And I'm still going to go in the way that the Lord is calling me to be. So we see that he died for us and He cared for us enough. There's another scripture in the 8th chapter of John. I believe it's the 11th. John 8. And this is the story of the woman that was taken in adultery in the very act. Which means she was just full of shame. Nowhere to hide. Literally, in all of her glory, embarrassed. You ever been in a place like that? Well, maybe it wasn't doing the exact same thing, but we've been in places where we've been embarrassed. Where we've been exposed and humiliated and feel shame. And it's usually in those times that the enemy comes along and starts to whisper in your ear, "See, I told you you didn't have any value. See, I told you you weren't worth anything. You weren't worth waiting on. God's given up on you. You might as well just quit. There's no sense in trying anymore. You've gone too far." All the different lies that he loves to whisper. And then he'll bring to remembrance the things that other people have said that fit that ideology and start to wear you down and tear you down. This is what it looks like to steal, kill, and destroy. But I'm here to tell you tonight, the Word of God tells us, cast down every vain imagination which exalts itself against God and the way He thinks. And when God thinks of you, He thought enough to die for you. Okay? That doesn't change based upon the behavior. Do you understand this? It's not contingent upon that. This is agape love. It's not conditional. It's unconditional. The Lord, there's things He doesn't want us to be doing. And He'll help us. He'll save us from that place. He'll set our feet on the right place and in the right way and get us going the way that He wants us to go. But in the midst of that, I want you to understand that God has thoughts towards you. Amen. When we get in that place and we start getting beat down, And sometimes we do it to ourselves. It pains me sometimes to see the way some parents have messed up their children and the things that they've said. But I want to tell you tonight, if you've grown up in that kind of situation, you can have victory tonight. You can lay that on the altar. You can give that in forgiveness and give it to the Lord, and the Lord can break the power of that so that you can rise up and continue on in confidence of who God says you are and what value you have to Him. And He can break those powers and those strongholds in our lives. Praise God. Thank the Lord that He offers that to us as His children. And we see here this woman in all of her shame and everything else. We see, verse 10, it says, when Jesus had lifted up Himself and saw none but the woman, He said unto her, the Lord has a way of running off your accusers. Thank the Lord. Amen. What a faithful, good Father He is. He knows how to get rid of the crowd. He knows how to silence all the voices if you'll be found with Him. Yes. Right? You've got to be found with Him. We read there in Jeremiah, it says, then you will call upon My name. You will pray. And that's the key. How do we get this? We go and pray. We seek the Lord. And when we seek Him with our whole heart, He's promised that we'll find Him. He'll silence all those other voices. His will be the only one that's spoken. And there you will know that it is the voice of truth. Amen. And so it is when He had opportunity to speak to this lady. He says, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Amen. The Lord was not shocked by what she had done. Her epic fail didn't scare Him. He wasn't unprepared. He didn't get caught in a situation. He didn't know how to handle it. And I'm going to tell you tonight, as you live your life, and maybe it's not gross sin like this, but maybe there's just, you tried to do something for the Lord and you had made it up in your mind that you were going to go and do a particular thing for the Lord and you failed miserably. What does the enemy tell you when that happens? Might as well just quit. Don't bother to pray. You know God doesn't want to hear from you now. You know how worldly that is? It's just worldly. That's how it is with other people. You know, you failed somebody, they had an expectation, and you failed them, and you're like, oh, well, and now they're upset, and I can see it. So, and somehow we think God is like that. Scripture says God is not a man. Right? Not that He's subject to these little passions like we are and these little whims. He's so far beyond that. His ways are so far beyond our ways. And so it is that one of the things that we can take from this story is that when we find ourselves in a place of utter failure, we can still come. Whether someone brings us or we come ourselves, they are still a safe place before the Lord. Okay? And I know sometimes if we get upset at the people that accuse us and bring us to that place, and they're going to drag us, so to speak, in front of the Lord. Like, look at this. Look at what they've done and all this stuff. And they might have the wrong attitude, all this accusation. You're still in a safe place before the Lord. He's not going to excuse what's wrong. He didn't excuse what was wrong with her. He said, listen, I'm not going to condemn you for what you did. It's still wrong, but go and sin no more. He gives her a command, but He also gives her the power to do it. You understand? The Lord doesn't just say, hey, go do that, and knowing that she can't. The Lord in this gives her the power. And we have to understand that this is part of God's thoughts to us. Amen. Grab hold of this tonight. Get selfish tonight. This is my promise. This is my claim. That the Lord is going to give me that kind of power to go live the life that He's called me to live. I think about in the 10th chapter of John. Again, just considering the idea and the thoughts of God's thoughts towards us. John 10, Jesus talking about being the good shepherd begins, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. I want to stop there for a minute. You realize this is Jesus Christ Himself. It's in red. Jesus is the good shepherd. We as the saved people of God are His sheep. Okay? So you have to understand that when he starts talking here and he starts talking about the shepherd and the sheep, he's talking about himself and he's talking about you. Okay? And as I said earlier, it's very easy for some personalities to think when they hear these good things, they're like, well, yeah, that's for that brother over there and that's for that sister. Because they're always so good and they just sing so well and they teach so well and they preach and they pray so much better than me and they sing better and they're better at inviting people, they're better at driving, they're better at doing things for the Lord, cleaning, arranging, whatever. You name it. I'm going to tell you tonight, if you're that person that everybody else is always better, it's time to allow that to be broken. To allow the Lord to help you to understand who you are in God's eyes rather than in your eyes or how somebody else has broken your eye to see yourself less than what you really are.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Praise God. So he said here, the sheep hear his voice. You don't understand that's a promise? This is a promise in the Word of God. You, as a child of God, get to hear the voice of the Lord. He's promised you. He said in one place you would hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk ye in, don't go to the left, don't go to the right. It'll be there, it'll guide you, it'll meet you. Amen. And it's important that we understand that the Lord has a voice. Yes. It's important that we learn to recognize it and be trained. Just as little Samuel, when he was there and dedicated of his mom, and he heard a voice and he went to the high priest and he says, I'm here. And he says, I didn't call you. Go on back. After the third time, he says, just stay in bed and just say, Lord, thy servant here, speak on.
Yes.
He was learning the voice of God. And I want to tell you, it doesn't matter how old or young you are. Don't be ashamed. Yes. If you're not familiar and you're not understanding the voice of the Lord, be patient. Look to the Lord in prayer. Trust Him in faith. God has a way of drowning out all other voices and making His to be known. And I'm confident of the folks that are in this congregation. If you struggle with that, there's plenty of folks here that can help you to understand and look into the Word of God and see the trademarks of His voice. But I want you to understand what He said. My sheep know my voice. They're familiar. In a natural sense, a shepherd literally lives with their sheep. They live with them. And what he's saying is actually true. If they walk out into a field and they got their little call, the sheep recognize that voice and they turn and they just come running and they beat feet to get where he is. But if somebody else, you or I, were to walk out there, we could do the exact same call and they won't even lift up their head. There might be one that might be curious, but they're like, no, that's not the one. And that's how we need to be with all the other voices that we hear. These are God's thoughts to you.
Amen.
He goes on a little bit further and he says, he calleth his own sheep by name. Oh, praise God.
Amen.
He knows me.
Yes.
He knows you on an individual basis. You remember when Nathanael was brought before Jesus and he says, ah, behold, Nathanael, an Israelite in whom is no guile. And he's like, how do you know me? And he says, oh, I saw you when you were out there underneath the tree. When you thought nobody saw who you were. I knew where you were. I know your name. I know where you're at. I know what's going on in your life. I know what's touching you. You understand, Nathanael in that moment probably felt very alone. Felt like nobody saw him. Nobody understood him. And yet the Lord understood the whole time. You understand why it's so important that we exalt God's thoughts above our own?
Amen. Yes.
Because we get it wrong so many times.
Amen.
So many times we get it twisted and then it starts to affect our perception. And then when our perception becomes reality and all we see is based upon what we think we know. Lord, help us to have a clear vision.
Yes.
And that clear vision comes by the Word of God. That we start to understand that God has thoughts for us and He knows you by name. He knows who you are. He knows your personality. He knows your quirks. He knows your triggers. He knows what makes you happy. He knows everything about you better than you know yourself.
Yes.
And He's promised that you would hear His voice and He's promised to lead you.
Yes.
It says He leadeth them out. And that's what He does. And the Lord has told us that He looks after us. You know, He also said in verse 11 of this same chapter, He says, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. That's how much you're worth. When you stop to think about Jesus Christ, can you imagine what it had been like to have been in heaven and to have to leave? That takes some grace. Right? Thank goodness he's God. Right? And he left heaven to come down here to live the life that he lived so that I and you could have opportunity to be with him. Because there's an expected end. And he knew what it would take to get you there. And so he came down and he paid the price. Yes. We have to remember this. Each and every day that we wake,
thank you, Lord.
We have struggles. We have difficulties. We have things that don't go our way and things that want to manipulate our emotions. But we have to have our anchor in Christ and in these thoughts that the Lord knew the things that I was going to face. And yet he was still willing to give his life. And I'm going to tell you this evening, it's not a one-time offer. The Lord gets you in the fold. If a threat enters, he's going to do something about it. You understand that? That's what he means when he says, I give my life for it. So if a wolf jumps over the fence and comes and starts to growl and make aggressive things towards you, what does that look like? The problems of life. The things that we face each and every day. The big bad wolf comes along and he's scary and all these different things, and we start to feel all different kinds of emotions. We react a bunch of different kinds of ways based upon our life experiences and our personalities. But there is a calming force in all of it.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what I face.
True.
It doesn't matter how much it's stacked up against me.
Yeah.
God will work it out.
Yeah.
That's what he said. These are his thoughts to us. You remember Joseph, when he was sold into slavery by his brothers?
Right.
Do you remember what he told them? He said, what you meant for my evil, God turned for my good.
Yes.
Do you understand what he's telling them? God is above all powers and principalities and everything that can operate and function. And I know you and I have been in some situations where you feel like everybody's out against us. And this is stacked against us. And that person's conniving. And this person's working over here. And all these. And you know what? It doesn't matter. God's got it.
Yes.
I don't have to spend my mental energy on it.
Amen.
All I have to do is come before the Lord in prayer, seek him with my whole heart. I will find him. He's promised he would meet me in that place.
Amen.
And so it is that I know that, Lord, you said you're the good shepherd. You give your life for the sheep. Well, there's a wolf here, and this is how it's presenting it. And Lord, I want you to go ahead and give your life here and take care of me. And you know, I can walk away and rest in that.
Amen.
Why? Because I'm confident in my shepherd.
Yeah, yeah.
Too many times we place confidence in our own abilities to affect the situation.
Yes.
Use our intellect, our ability to make things happen or whatever. Or maybe we have confidence and trust in somebody else to fix the situation.
Yes.
Lord, help us to put our trust in him.
Right.
Oh, thank the Lord. Think about... You ever seen sheep get loose? They'll do it. And I want to say this. Maybe it's not you tonight, but it could be. But I think it's also important that we understand this principle when we deal with other folks. Sometimes there are people, and I know it's not a popular thing to talk about, but it's possible to backslide. It's possible to at one time have known the Lord and to completely walk away as a sheep, just jump over that fence and just, you thought the grass was greener on the other side, found that it was awful, but you were too embarrassed to come back, and so you just continued on. And I'm going to tell you, you go that way, you don't have to go very far, just a couple of steps, and the enemy will be right there to tell you, oh, you can't go back. You can't turn around. And days turn into weeks, which turn into years, and sometimes even decades. Where folks used to know the Lord and now they're out there. I'm going to give you a little something that'll give you confidence when you walk up and you face a situation like that. You have something on hand. In the 18th chapter of Matthew, Jesus was given the story of a man that had 100 sheep. And verse 11 says, for the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. It didn't say why. It didn't say from whence they were lost, whether it was from birth or from their backslidden condition. Didn't matter. He didn't put a clarifier on it. And then he goes on, he says, how think ye if a man have 100 sheep and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray?
Yes.
Do you understand that there's a thought of God about the wandering lost sheep?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. The devil will tell him, there's no hope. You had your opportunity. This was, you know, strike three, you're out. All these different kinds of cliches. Why is it three? Why can't it be strike 300? Why has it got to be three? Because it's the ways of the world, right? And so it is. The enemy talks and people talk and folks will even talk themselves into these kinds of things. We adopt all these philosophies that are unlike God. And I'm here tonight to tell you that God has specific thoughts concerning His sheep and concerning His people. Amen. He's not willing that any should be lost, but that all should come to salvation. And you see here, He says, think about this. And I can just see the Lord. Let's be logical about this. You got 100 sheep. There's not one you can afford to spare. Why? Because you know each and every single one of them by name.
Yeah.
It's not just, oh, I have sheep. No, that's this one and that one. They got nicknames. You know, if I could say it this way, if you give me this kind of liberty tonight, God has a nickname for you.
Yes.
He knows you that well and that intimate.
Amen.
And the question is, do I know Him that intimately? Because He said, my sheep know my voice. That's that intimacy that goes two ways. He knows them, but they know His voice. And I'm going to tell you tonight, that God wants to spoil you as His child.
Amen.
He wants to meet you in the places that you're at. I think about Paul when he was Saul. God met him, didn't He?
Yeah.
He met him in a miraculous way. And I think about Paul's testimony. He said, because of the abundance of revelations given unto me, there was a messenger of Satan, a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, to keep me humble is what he's really trying to say. He says, God has so blessed me. He's met me so many different times and revealed Himself to me in so many different dynamic ways that He had to give me some problems to keep me humble.
Yeah.
Don't we want that kind of testimony? You know it's ours to have. It's ours to have. Paul knew His voice. We can know His voice. The Lord wants to bestow those kinds of blessings. Yeah, there's going to be some problems to keep you humble. But you know what? You can seek the Lord a couple, three times, and if it doesn't go away, you can just be fine. You know, I've learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Because I'm persuaded that nothing is impossible with my God. He can handle it. And if that's what I got to have to make heaven, then I'll take it with me. We're going. We're going to keep going. There's a confidence that all of this brings that you know as you go through life, God's got me.
Yes. Praise the Lord.
What if I make a mistake and I run away? He's coming to find you.
Yes.
He's not going to say, well, you done had your choice. Good luck. I hope you make it out okay. He's telling you right here, I'll leave the 99. I got him in a safe place. I'm going to go to the other one. But you notice where he said it was? In the mountains. You know, that's not easy terrain. In the other version in Luke, it says the wilderness. These are dangerous places. Do you understand how much value you have that God's willing to go to a dangerous place to get you? I think about it just in a natural sense. I'm a father. I got 4 children. If my kids made some horrible decisions, went to some really bad, sketchy neighborhoods, seedy neighborhoods, late at night, you know, 2, 3 in the morning, and they call me and they're in trouble, I'm there. I'm not hesitating. I'm coming. Right? And I don't even have that much power or authority, especially in neighborhoods like that. But you think about our God and the power and the authority that He has. And I want you to understand tonight, this is part of God's thoughts to us, that there's nowhere we can go to escape His desire and His love and affection for us. Now we have to be willing. The Lord isn't just going to drag you. You got to be willing to be led. And I cannot stress this enough. It's not that God's going to force you to be saved and force you to live a life for Him. But He loves you enough to come find you. When you start crying out and you get caught up in the thicket somewhere, you're hanging out on the cliff by a thread and nobody can do anything, the Lord can.
Amen.
And the Lord has promised that He would.
Yes.
This is His thoughts concerning us. I want to close tonight with the scripture here in the 3rd chapter of Malachi. Malachi 3, and we want to read verse 16. It says, "Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him." Yes. You understand what God's thought is here? You're his jewel. Precious. I don't know if you've ever had opportunity to look at some jewels. I can't afford them, so I go to the Smithsonian. And they've got some very beautiful, precious jewels. I've been able to see the Hope Diamond and a few other things, and the sapphires and the rubies and the topaz and the emerald and all those different kinds of things. All their vibrant colors and everything else. And they're so valuable. They're worth so much because they're so precious. And they're so rare. And you understand that this is God's thought to you. You're precious. You're rare. You have value. And when he thinks about you, he says, "They're mine."
Amen.
And you think about it in a natural sense. How possessive are you of your wallet? What happens when you out in public and you realize, I'm a wallet? Or maybe I should say the phone, because I think the phone means more. Huh? Right? When you're without your phone, how possessive do you get of that thing? We get real possessive. And it's just, what, $1,000? And maybe, let's just say you have a few $100,000 in a bank account that you could access through this. $500,000, great. You get pretty precious, right? How much more are you worth to God?
Yes.
That's what he's telling you. When he says, "They are mine, those are my jewels." That's what God thinks when he looks at you. When you look in the mirror.
Yes.
When you get up tomorrow, do me a favor. Do God a favor. Look in the mirror and say, "Lord, I'm glad you think I'm a jewel. Help me to believe it.
Yes.
Help me to live it."
Yes.
More than anything, help me to live in such a way when we start to elevate God's thoughts above our own thoughts and above the world's thoughts and above the enemy's thoughts, we're going to find that we're a people that walk circumspectly.
Yes.
We have a heavenly confidence rather than a cockiness.
Yes.
It's not because of ourselves or what we've done or what we think we can do, but it's because of him and what we know he is willing to do, what he's committed himself to doing.
Yes.
Appreciate your time tonight. My hope and my prayer is that the Lord would encourage each of us to be able to get the mind of God when it comes to thinking about ourselves.
Yes.